This is a 29 January Budget and Economic Outlook work session with the Budget Office.
Mr. Milton's already given you the go.
Ready?
Yeah, we're ready, sir.
We're ready. Good morning, guys.
Hey, folks, Mr. Gassaway, Mark,
hello.
We're beginning.
Hello. Yeah. Good morning.
Thank you. We have our economic outlook, our regular report with the Budget Office. I think Bob Stevens has some introductory remarks before Adriana takes the floor.
Good morning, Commissioners. The information Adriana is about to present will show that the general fund continues to be in a fragile but stable state. Despite some major challenges in 2013, we've managed to prevent any further erosion of the general fund's financial position. I would like to thank the members of the finance team for their invaluable ingenuity and expertise in that accomplishment. As we begin a new year in the process of developing the 15-16 budget, we will continue to face the growing challenge of balancing the most pressing needs of the present against our future financial health. Those choices are unavoidable. Those choices are unavoidable, and I'm afraid none of them are going to be easy. Finally, I'd like
You're
to thank.
Soft now, by the way. There you go.
Finally, I'd like to thank all the departments that have heeded the call for workforce planning and budget austerity in the last year. I believe the results of those efforts are beginning to show, and I ask that they continue in the new year with renewed determination. With that, I give you our one and only Dr. Prada.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'll start as usual with the roadmap and a summary of our presentation. And just to take you through the roadmap, today's work session is going to review the general fund revenue and expense status for 2013-14. We're going to look at actual performance for the first year of the biennium, and we're going to project where we'll end up based on the latest trends by the end of 2014. And as usual, we go through the national and regional economic outlook because the health, the status of the economy is vital to county budget trends. And to give you a summary, the current general fund budget for 2013-14, after the changes that we made in the readopt of December 2013, include $11.9 million from what we call unassigned reserves. And the current forecast, as we will discuss today, expects to use about $6.3 million of that $11.9. That puts our unassigned reserves for the general fund at 44 days by the end of 2014. We started with 62 days, and we are projecting now to be at 44 days by the end of 2014.
And Adriana, remind us reserve policy that we set, was it 47 days?
That was exactly what I was going to say next.
Oh,
by the calculation of the auditor's office of the fund balance policy, that number of days should be 54 days. And that is based on cash flow needs. It is based on the volatility of revenues and on certain risks that are likely for the general fund to incur. So that's 54 days, and we're projecting to be at 44 days. However, we could see savings that could be greater than the 44 days because of savings in departmental budgets, and we'll talk about that throughout the presentation. And then with our national and local economic outlook, what we're basically seeing, we'll discuss that we're seeing moderate economic growth, and that is consistent with the assumptions that we have adopted for our projections. So I will start with the first part of the presentation, which is general fund revenue and expense trends. This is an overview of the current general fund spending plan as of December 2013 with the latest changes we have made in the readopt. And those changes include, for example, some of the major ones. We have added debt payments for the legal settlements, And at the same time, we have helped offset that by redirecting debt for the exhibit hall. Instead of the general fund incurring that, we have switched that to REIT revenue. So that helped us offset that cost. We have added one-time must-do expenses that had to do with the railroad. At the same time, we have eliminated some positions actually in the budget office that have helped offset that. So overall, we have managed through all the changes in the readopt to preserve our projected 44 days of fund balance that you have been hearing about. And the current budget, as I said, includes 11.9 million usage of reserves, of unassigned reserves, and that is in addition to 5.8 million that's coming out of dedicated funds that have been previously set aside. And that includes the sheriff's record system, it includes tide mark support, it includes one-time help for the event center, and it also includes a 1.4 million budget that we have put in to the readopt for Camp Bonneville. We're moving Camp Bonneville revenue and expense into its own fund, and the 1.4 is what has accrued in the general fund that is owed to Camp Bonneville dedicated operations. So we're moving that out, its dedicated fund balance. So all said and done, the plan, the current budget includes usage of 11.9 million out of unassigned fund balance. Now, we are projecting that we're actually going to see 5.6 million savings this biennium. And throughout 2013, we have seen about 2.8 million savings from under expenditures. Revenues are on track because we have just updated the revenue forecast in December. And basically, our revenue adjustments have netted to zero. We're tracking really close to the revenue forecast as it was in the adopted budget. Some revenues have come in higher, some lower, but overall still on the mark. So we've updated those revenues in December. We are going to do another update in the next spring supplemental in March. We continuously update our revenues to make sure that we are reflecting the latest realities and the latest trends. And so that gives us about 2.8 million savings for 2013, which translates right now to about 53 days of fund balance by the end of 2013. We are projecting that by the end of 2014, we will see about 5.6 million savings from under expenditures. And again, we expect revenues to be on track with the forecast. And that's not just doubling the 2.8 number. It's actually a projection that we do at a detail level, and it turned out to be 5.6 by the end of 2014. And these numbers are preliminary for 2013. We had what we call a soft close for the year. We're still adding more to 2013, but we don't expect those changes to radically alter these numbers. And when we report these numbers, I should also mention that we make a lot of adjustments. We have many revenues in the general fund that are delayed billings, and when the numbers are significant, we get in touch with the departments and we make sure to make those adjustments. If we know that a revenue will be coming in, it's just delayed, we report it as if it's on track to make sure that we're accurate. So with this 5.6 million projected savings, our use of unassigned fund balance for 2013-14 looks this way. We started with 24.2 million in January 13, which translates to about 62 days of fund balance. Included and budgeted use of unassigned fund balance is 11.9. We're estimating 5.6 savings. That puts projected fund balance, unassigned fund balance, at about 17.9 million by the end of 2014, which is the 44 days we have been talking about. However, we could see larger savings than that, increasing reserves and helping get closer to that fund balance policy number because of that part of the budget that is department controlled. We usually call it controllables. And departments have all the way until the end of the biennium to spend that budget, so we can't count on savings. But departments have been really good holding the line and sticking to absolutely necessary expenditures. So we know we could add some savings there. Of course, there is also the risk of unexpected expenses, and almost every budget update that we do, we deal with some of those, so that risks remain and could offset some of those additional savings. And we are also investigating some revenue shortfalls that we have not reported here. What it is, we have a number of revenues that are coming from outside the general fund that are, for example, reimbursable revenues for work done by other funds outside the general fund that are behind what's currently budgeted. And we have meetings set up with those departments to identify exactly why. And we're hoping that either the revenue will come in and materialize or there will be expense savings on the other side. So we don't want to worry you too much about that, but I just wanted to mention that, that we will be working with a few of the departments where this is happening. So bottom line is, this is the chart that summarizes our current status and our projected reserves. This is the projected unassigned fund balance, and again, we were at 62 days before the start of the biennium. We are at 53 days today, and we are projecting to be at 44 days, possibly a little higher by the end of 2014 if we see additional departmental savings and no unexpected expenditures. So that's the revenue expense part of the presentation. Are there any questions before I move on to the national and the local economic outlook? Okay. So we the second part of our presentation, we review the state of the national and local economy. And as I said, the health of the economy is truly important because it directly and indirectly affects our county revenues and expenditures. And just to give you some examples, when the economy is in distress, counties truly see decreases in revenue and increases in expenditures. And some of the mechanisms that happen, job losses occur, consumer confidence and consumer spending decline, and that has a direct impact on county revenues like taxable retail sales. Also, in times of economic distress, when the economy is not healthy, we see an increase in the pressure on local governments and state governments to provide services. There is more need to provide services for the citizens, so there is actually an increase in pressure on the expenditure side. And also, federal and state governments that have to deal with their own deficits and shortfalls, they pass on mandates to local governments, and they reduce shared revenues, which is, again, another hit on local governments. So truly, the health of the economy is very important for revenues and expenses and for the county budget. So to summarize the state of the national economy, we see steady growth continue, which is consistent with the assumptions that we have used in building the budget projections. We continue to be cautiously optimistic. Most indicators are positive, although many of them are not quite at healthy or desirable levels. What we're seeing nationally in terms of improvements is we have low inflation, we're seeing things like household debt is decreasing. Household debt at its peak was at 95.9% in 2009 as a percentage of the GDP. That's how it's traditionally measured. It is now at 77.4%, so household debt is coming down. At the same time, public sector debt and federal debt is on the rise, and that trend hasn't stopped. We're seeing outside risks diminish. The Eurozone is slowly healing with some of the major economies like Germany leading. There is definitely uneven recovery there, but the recession is tapering off and Europe is doing much better. There's also risk remaining from the monetary policy, the way that the Fed is going to slowly taper off intervention in the economy and the increase that we will see in interest rates. That is of concern. The timing of that and the impact on financial markets is of concern. For example, mortgage rates went from 3.5% to about 4.5%, and they're estimated to go to 5.5% over the next year. So the timing and the impact on the economy is really important there. And we continue to see the impacts of the sequestration into 2014 and 2015. We will continue to see that impact of those cuts. To go through some of the major indicators, consumer confidence was at 78.1 in December. It was up from 72 in November. Values over 90 are healthy. 100 signifies strong growth. GDP growth in the third quarter of the year, when that number comes up, it is estimated to be about 2%. That's slightly, and it's going to be slightly below 3% forecasted for 2014. 3% is typical growth, 5-6% would be strong growth. We're also seeing home sales slow down at the end of 2013, and I'll talk more about this in the context of the local economy. And that is a combination most likely of higher mortgage rates, as well as tighter credit standards and a low inventory. So switching to some of the local indicators for Clark County, we're seeing job growth over the last year has been about 2.9%. We've seen gains in construction, financial services, and leisure services. And the November unemployment rate was 8.2% for Clark County, compared with 6.3% for overall for the Portland metro area, 6.4% for the state, and 6.6% for the nation. And according to Scott Bailey's report that came out yesterday, our local economist, we have recouped 9,900 of the 10,000 jobs, so almost all of the jobs lost, we have recouped those, and that's compared to 2008, so we're back to the same number of jobs as in 2008, which obviously doesn't account for growth in need for jobs because of growth in population. But what's interesting, too, is that the composition of the workforce is now different than it was back in 2008. We definitely have fewer jobs in construction and in real estate and manufacturing, but we have more jobs in healthcare and corporate offices and finance. Switching to the real estate market, to the local housing market, we're seeing single-family home permits. We've had about 1,500 through November, which is up 31% from 2013. November permits, for example, in Clark County were 104, which is up from the lowest November we've had in 2011. We had only 49 permits, but it's still about half of the number of typical permits that we saw in November in the early 2000s, 2000, 2001, 2002. We're seeing an inventory of home for sales within a lower range of the healthy level. We're seeing actually low inventory, about 4.5 months of supply in Clark County. Actually lower overall for the Portland metro area. It's only 3.2. Home sales were up 19% from 2012 and 2013. Prices, the median price was up 15.6% in 2013, and the median price was actually for the year was $224,900. That combination of higher prices and an increase in the volume of sales have helped some of our revenues, like real estate excise tax revenue, which was up 47% in 2013 overall as a result. and that's what allowed us to put some of the general fund debt to switch it to REIT. However, we are not projecting those types of increases to continue. The current housing market that we're seeing is not your typical housing market activity. We have a high number of cash sales and a large number of institutional, a large percentage of institutional investors, and the percentage of first-time home buyers has declined. The context of mortgage rates starting to go up, prices starting to go up, have pushed investors and cash buyers to come in, and we may have seen a one-time bump in activity because of that. We're not projecting this type of growth to continue, so we're cautious about what we're projecting in terms of housing market activity and our real estate excise tax revenues for 2014 and onwards. Switching to taxable retail sales, our sales tax revenues are up 8% in 2012, in 2013 compared with 2012. That puts us back pretty much at the peak in 2007. By comparison, the nation and the state of Washington, if you look at their taxable retail sales, those numbers have surpassed the peak in 2007. We are pretty much where we would be based on that normal trend line if we put a normal trend line through and ignore the recession, the bump years in the recession. We're pretty much where we're expecting to be, and it's in tune with our revenue forecast, 8% for 2013, and then we've dropped down our revenue forecast to a more normal growth rate from here to 3-4% for 2014 and onwards. So that's all I have for the economic portion of the again, slow, moderate growth, consistent with our budget revenue and expense assumptions.
Great.
Hello.
payroll. So there are two significant things. One was we had a $10.5 million lawsuit that we settled from the 1990s this last year, and that consumed a significant portion of our savings. And the other is the budget office is working with our sheriff's office to do whatever we can to find extra funding for the state deputies. And we're figuring, we're optimistic that that's going to happen, and that's projected in the future.
What we're working with the sheriff is to identify the possibility of using existing budget, not new budget. That is the decision that will come before the board very soon. I don't want to sugarcoat the fact that we're talking about money that could go to fund balance instead. But I promised the board at your retreat that I would give you a history of the 2/10 law and justice sales tax and the NPD and our use of REIT for debt. You'll get all those things, and as a result of that information, we'll have some recommendations for you to set policy on direction on those three things. So it's definitely in the works. I don't think I'm going to hand you an easy decision, though.
When we get to discuss this tomorrow in our board retreat, we can discuss kind of the policies moving forward on this. I appreciate kind of the picture, the point in time of where we are with this. In 2014, is there anything else that's not on the slides that you see as a potential? You talked about potential savings associated with controllables that we might see. Is there anything else out there in 2014 that you see that we might be needing to deal with either on revenue or expense side?
The only thing I'm aware of on the potential expense side is we still have one pending lawsuit. On the revenue side, what I guess we're trying to gear the board for is the phenomenon that, as Adriana said, because we can't predict how much the department's controllables they'll spend, we always seem to come back and surprise you at the end of the second year and say, ooh, we got all this turnback. We're anticipating getting to to a higher level of turnback than what we're acknowledging at this point. So for the moment, and I'm reluctant to say anything that remotely indicates a positive attitude at this point, but I think the pluses for us outweigh the potential negatives going through 14 at this point.
Well, and on the controllable side, one of the things that, first of all, controllables are a relatively small portion of the department's budgets, depending on the department. Most of it is staffing and personnel costs associated with the services. But departments have been amazing at being able to control costs, not just on controllables, but on staffing personnel as well. What I'd love to see as we talk, as we get into this tomorrow, and also to hear from departments as well, is there's only so long that you can hold off on purchases of things that you need, right? I mean, if they're holding off on things, saying, times are tight, we're going to hold off on purchases of needed controllables or of filling positions that have been vacant, at what point do we see the wave crash on that, where then those expenses, we don't get the turn back that we have and that we've gotten consistently over a number of years? I'm concerned if we get too much back, then at some point we're going to get nothing back, because they're going to say, well, we've held off on all of these purchases and all of these positions. We desperately need them now, or it's going to fall apart.
Absolutely, and that's why we don't count on it going into the forecast. And when it does appear, it's either put into assigned fund balance and dedicated against something in the new year, or we allow it for decision packages that are one-times in the process. So, but some of the potential controllables that could be turned back are rather large this time, and mostly in the form of general fund transfers that may not occur. So.
Okay. Thank you.
And did you say that REIT revenue, the tax real estate excise tax revenues are up
47%
from last year?
I'm sorry. They're up 47% from last year, but which is, I believe, a one-time trend because of the increase in the volume of activity driven by the current market with mortgage rates getting higher. There was a momentum in the housing market, and we've already seen a tapering down of sales at the end of 2013 as mortgage rates have gone up. So the combination of prices, because really state excise tax really depends on the price of the home and the volume of the activity, and we've seen both go up as the market had that momentum with low mortgage rates before the rates started increasing. That actually puts us, I had a note here, that actually puts us back at about similar to 2002 levels in terms of the volume of revenue that we've received. So the pre-boom, pre-recession years, that's where the revenue is at. That has allowed us to do some things to free up money from the general fund and direct that to REIT. But Bob will show you tomorrow at the board the long-term trend for REIT and how it's currently used. And with this and the current forecast, we barely just have enough to cover debt service until about 2020.
And that was going to be my point, is that, yes, REIT revenues are up, but we were projecting REIT to crash in its debt service not too long ago. So what we're experiencing is putting us on a more even keel, where we don't have to worry so much about REIT crashing, but it's not generating anything that can be diverted elsewhere at this point. So we'll show you that tomorrow.
And what we're doing with that extra revenue is we're assigning that to debt and make sure that we're covering that debt service, so we're not borrowing from the future. We're paying off what we can from the past for that one-time revenue.
Correct.
Right. All right. That's it.
Any questions from the audience?
Any questions, comments? No.
Okay, that wraps it up.
Thank you very much. Good job. Good work.
Wow, and the mouth actually works. My mouth actually works this time. Isn't that amazing?
Your what?
The mouse. We had a new mouse again.
Oh, good. Well, that's
actually works.